find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Primetime, an SOB edition. Sakanik, Ortner, and Buckley here with you. Ropp still in Vegas for one more day. Maybe he comes home tonight. Maybe he comes home tomorrow. Maybe he doesn't come home at all. We will see. We'll find out.
It's like the show Lost. You don't really know. He's got that black smoke monster thing that he's going to come back with in Vegas.
So, did you watch the show Lost, by the way?
I do, and I don't. Like, did we ever figure out what the hell that thing was?
So that was the thing. They were so...
They're all dead, right?
I don't know, man. Yeah, it was open to interpretation at the end, but it seemed like they were all dead.
Well,
I don't know.
This is one of my weird things. I have a horrible... I can watch something, and then 5 years later, I'll forget, 75% of it. So I watched Lost religiously for 3 years.
Yeah, I did too.
And then I was like, eh. And I kind of fell away. And then I kind of came back. And then it's ending. Yeah, at the end of it, they all end up in a church. They're dead. It's like sort of purgatory hell thing.
I would think so. And then the other stuff that was for people who watched it from the beginning that was frustrating. Do you remember the very first episode? There was a polar bear charging through the jungle.
Yeah.
They never explained how a freaking polar bear got there.
Did we ever figure out what the damn black thing was?
The smoke monster? I don't know. I think it was... In some cases, people were saying it was it was imagined, or it was a manifestation of something else. And then there was there's the Dharma Initiative thing, the people who were already on the island. And I don't know. I feel like I will go back and give that show a rewatch because it was so off the wall in so many ways that I'm sure I've forgotten 95% of it and that it would be entertaining again.
Yeah,
but
in Lost, the smoke monster's true form is the Man in Black. Connected to the island, the Man in Black transformed into the smoke monster after being thrown into the heart of the island. The smoke monster's powers include shape-shifting immunities and distinctive mechanical noise.
Yeah, and killing people.
I don't remember that at all.
I kind of do, I would have to go back to...
I don't know.
To reevaluate that.
Yeah, well, apparently that's what the smoke monster was, and I don't remember that at all. I just remember there was a big smoke thing that would go around and, I don't know, it did things. It was like venom or something.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I thought it, stabbed somebody, but now then am I thinking of, wasn't there something in Game of Thrones that did that, too? There was, a nefarious smoke thing?
Well, this is my...
That was the Red Lady.
Yeah, that's right.
This is my running problem that I have with good TV shows, is when you have a successful show... you only write one season, right? You're like, hey, I'll write this. And you're like, oh, it's really good. And then you write a second season and you write a third one. You're like, I'm just out of ideas.
They just kept kicking the can down the road. Yeah. People love it. We don't know what's going on. Not sure how we're going to land the plane, but let's keep going.
That's why the best shows, in my opinion, end in one or two seasons. That's why I love the Fargo series,
yep.
True Detective.
Yeah.
Just give me 12 episodes. Wrap it up. Otherwise, you end up kicking it down the road and you're like, hey, what happened to the polar bear? And then you're like, I don't know. We got to explain it away. Then you end up with some horse crap thing. And it just, very few shows longer than two or three seasons can land it. I give you Game of Thrones. That's why Breaking Bad's the best show. Because
I love Breaking Bad.
Dexter was this way. Dexter started off so good and then just became such a pile of crap.
That was such a weird... Dexter, was Jekyll and Hyde. They would pump out a good season and then they have a terrible season, followed by a good season,
Ray Donovan,
a terrible one.
Ray Donovan, great for three seasons, and then a pile of crap. You got... I'll give you two, maybe, if it's well-written, three seasons. After that, I guarantee Ozark, same thing.
Yeah.
It turns into a hunk of crap.
Yep.
The one exception is, and I'm sure there's others, but Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad, I thought, was just good. There were seasons better than others. I think that was six seasons, right?
I think they only went five.
You got five. What about Better Call Saul? Because that gets around five as well.
Yeah, that got five or six. Good. And I actually thought that Better Call Saul took some time to take off. The really interesting thing, Sook, about Breaking Bad was that their first season was only six episodes because it got cut short by the writer's strike.
Yeah.
That was way back in the day, that was a pretty big pop culture event. And I do believe that they were going to write Jesse Pinkman out of the show. He was supposed to kind of be more of a an ancillary fringe character initially, and he had such good chemistry with Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul's character, did that they're like, well, now we have this writer's break to think about it. We got to figure out more ways to include him. He becomes like the soul of the show.
Yeah, five seasons.
Yeah.
Five. And that's like, you can't go any more than that. Yellowstone's another one. First two seasons of Yellowstone, really good. Last three, piles of dog crap.
I have one. And the final episode might ruin it, but The Sopranos was pretty good all the way through, and you're looking at about seven seasons.
The one thing I'll say about The Sopranos...
And what do they say about The Sopranos? People call it one of the two or three greatest shows of all time.
The Wire also... The Wire might be five, though.
The Wire's five. I've watched The Wire multiple times through. I love The Wire. I like The Wire probably a little bit better than Sopranos, just because I felt like, even in Sopranos, it felt like there were a couple wasted episodes here and there, like the Christopher Columbus episode, and there's a hand, the strong
discrimination.
I mean, they were kind of making some stuff up that like just wasn't that interesting in the grand scheme of the show. But Suk is right. I think the shorter the better. What the problem now that ails some of these writers and some of these showrunners is that something awesome comes out, like a Squid Game, that really should have just been done after one.
Done.
And then they throw tons of money because they're like, yeah, well, look at how successful this was. We have to run it back. It's an obligation to our financial future to run it back. And I get why you need to go collect that bag, but that, you know, not every show needs more.
No. But again, if I was Tyler Sheridan and someone gave me $8 gajillion to keep writing whatever crap I'm writing, I'd write it too. So again, not faulting you, but... You usually lose me after three or four seasons. And hopefully, Sons of Anarchy is one of my favorite shows of all time. That went seven seasons. And let me tell you, there was about two right in the middle. There's one where they went to Ireland. You can just fast forward.
Yeah.
Just,
I watched that whole series as well. And yeah, there were some wasted episodes and maybe wasted seasons, even though overall it was really good.
Yeah, when they go to Ireland, I tell people, you know what, just skip that. We'll just... Let's just move past that one and pretend. Think about it like Rocky V. We just pretend that it didn't happen. And we move right into Rocky Balboa.
Now we're getting tons of recommendations on the fan text line. Someone says we should talk BoJack Horseman. Someone else says that it was recommended Justified. I loved Justified. I'm going to give that a rewatch at some point. That's a really good one. Someone says put G-String Divas on that list. And
I remember that on HBO. That was right up there with Red Shoe Diaries.
Someone said Rome was great on HBO. I never watched that.
Never watched Rome.
I heard people say that was good, and I think it did only go one or two seasons. Mm. Someone says The Newsroom, three seasons and perfect.
Newsroom's great.
I thought the first season was really good, and then I thought they kind of lost their way a little bit in the later seasons.
They
wrapped
it up.
Yeah, but they did. But they wrapped it up.
If that thing had gone any longer, I'd be here telling you that's a hunk of crap.
Well, the Newsroom's Sorkin, too. He's in and out.
The Newsroom's worth watching.
And then someone says, Suk, a show that has remained strong through the entire run is Bosch and Bosch Legacy, which starts its final season in March. I have heard good things about Bosch. I want to say it was on Prime, maybe, and you'd recognize the actor. He's in a lot of stuff, but I think it's one of these... you know, washed up cop needs has something to prove, kind of a premise, but
that's the man in black from Lost.
Yeah,
this dude.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah. He was in the Town with Ben Affleck. Yeah, that dude's been in a million things.
Yeah, so I've heard good things about that show. I might have to check that one out.
All right. I've never even. There's so many TV shows now. It's hard, but I love when you give me when I know it's a limited series. 12 episodes?
Well, that's the other thing.
I start licking my chops.
That's the other thing that's changed is like when Lost was coming out, I'm pretty sure those Lost seasons were like 20, 22, 24 episodes.
Yeah,
like
long.
The network TV runs back in the day used to be like 20 plus episodes a season.
Now they're like 10 or 12.
Right. So, and that's where I think the dramas really find their wheelhouse. And so, that is hot Seahawks and NFL head coaching talk.
Sports. We got derailed. It happens.
It happens. And you know what? On the other side of that break, we will get back to that because I'm curious to know what you think. What direction you think the Seahawks are headed in? It does feel like there are a lot of teams in the NFC who are rapidly ascending. Where are they on that trajectory, and what needs to change for them to take that next step? We'll get to that next. Plus, some thoughts on some of the new coaching hires in the NFL coming up. Primetime, 1080 The Fan. Get up, get on up,
get up, get on up, stay on the scene. Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan. Get up,
get on up. Welcome back to Primetime Hot TV Talk. Someone jokes that one season of Chernobyl was perfect. I'm glad they didn't go for a second.
That was a great...
Chernobyl was really good.
That was really good. Again,
limited, and obviously, you couldn't do a second because of, you know, limited, history.
Limited series, I'm telling you. That's why the first season, True Detective, the last one with Jodie Foster, Fargo does it, except for the Chris
I didn't
Rock.
Watch the last one with Jodie Foster.
It was good. Night
was
Country.
It?
Yeah, Night Country was good.
Because I heard mixed things. I heard some people... Didn't Rob hate it?
Rob liked it, hated it, and then I... think he quit on it. I liked Night Country. I thought it was good. Jodie Foster won the Golden Globe for
Best Actress. I like that show, and I have not watched that season yet.
It was just it was a little mystic for some people. They didn't like it. I liked it. Again, I just like stuff they were up. 12 episodes. That's all I need. 12 episodes. Wrap it up.
Let's dive back into the NFL briefly. We're talking about some of the NFC teams that could make the jump to potentially go challenge Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in coming years. And we're now 1 year removed from the rookie season of Mike Macdonald with the Seahawks. They go 9-8 in a pretty up and down year. There were injury things that jumped out throughout. They had a couple tough. They started off with easy scheduling, then they ran into some tough scheduling. It was a little bit, I don't know, just a little roller coastery. It didn't seem to stay very, very flat. And I know that some of that gets stabilized as things move on. But how close is this team to either breaking through to being more of a competitor, or are they further away than their record indicates?
I think the last, 3 years, I think they've been 10-7. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, did I say 9-8? Yeah.
They're 10-7. I think they're 10-7 pretty much every year. And they're a game away from the postseason every year. So how close they are to being contenders, I think you're a ways. How close you are to being a playoff team? One game. And I do think if you're Seattle, I think you like the way things are going. I think you saw a defense get better and better. Because the last couple years, the problem has been the rush defense. It's been god-awful. And I think as the season went on and you saw Mike McDonald's scheme kind of start to take hold, and I think going to get Ernest Jones was you got rid of both of your linebackers. You brought in two linebackers to be your starters, and both of those guys by the end of the year were gone. Thanks for coming. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And I think the addition of Ernest Jones, who was a nice player, he just was a cap casualty in two places, one in Tennessee and one in the Rams. I think you saw when he came into that lineup, I'm not saying he was Roquan Smith, but he was that level of player, like what he meant to that defense when he went over to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, he was a real difference maker. And so I think when you look at the defensive side of things, I think there's a lot to like. Leonard Williams still plays at a high level. I think you have a really bright, young secondary. Mm-hmm. You got some studs back
there. They're pretty good.
And so I like the defense, and the defense got better. And I would assume that under Mike Macdonald, this defense is going to continue to get better. I think, like, look at Vic Fangio, right? I think people saw Fangio come in and they were like, is this really? Yeah, it takes a while. But you saw Seattle really adapt to the scheme. So to me, I think the defense sets itself up really well. And a lot of young, manageable contracts. I think the defense is fine. I think the question mark goes to the offense. And I think bringing in Clint Kubiak is going to help, because I like Geno Smith. I know it pisses Rob off. Geno Smith is a good quarterback when he has time to throw and can push the ball downfield. I'm telling you, for the last 3 years, Geno Smith has been a good quarterback. But a lot like Jared Goff, you need to do two things. You got to be able to protect him, and you got to be able to run the ball.
And they can't do either right now.
They can't do either one. When you see Detroit that doesn't have a run game, he looks bad. When the Rams' run game fell apart, remember when Todd Gurley's knee turned to dust?
Yeah.
What happened to the Rams' offense? It died, because he needs – when you are a statue quarterback, and Geno's not as bad as Goff, but he's not a mobile guy – he's a guy that needs to stand in the pocket, deliver the ball downfield. And if you can't protect, and believe me, their O-line can't protect. It's arguably the worst O-line in the NFL. I mean, they suck.
It was a rough go.
And when you can't run the ball, and you can't work play action, and you can't pick up pressure. And by the way, they weren't even necessarily getting blitzed. They just couldn't block four guys. Geno Smith had less time to throw than I think just about any other quarterback in the NFL. You look at his pressure rate, sky high. It was an abomination.
Yeah. Really hamstrings what you want to do offensively.
Yeah.
When you don't have the time, you can have the greatest ideas and schemes in the world. If you don't have time, none of it matters.
So you bring in Clint Kubiak, and Clint Kubiak comes from his father's coaching tree, Sean McVay. You saw, remember at the beginning of the year when New Orleans, we said New Orleans had one of the worst O-lines in the NFL, and for like 3 weeks, they were scoring like a ton of points, and we're like, how are they doing with the O-line? Run the ball. Kamara had a resurgence. Why? They run the ball. So, trust me, Seattle will run the ball. They're going to run that wide zone scheme, and hell or high water, they will run the ball, and they will play action. So that alone should help Geno Smith. Now the question becomes, do you literally have enough O-linemen? I think you have your left tackle in Cross, who did have his struggles this year. I think he's a really good left tackle. Outside of that, I, you know, Abe Lucas.
When he's healthy, he's good. He's just never healthy.
Okay. I don't think he's great. I think he's serviceable. I think the inside line, and this is the problem with Seattle. This is like Cincinnati. They have spent capital. They draft interior linemen, and they suck. They just cannot. They just can't figure it out. So that is a huge question mark. I think Kubiak and his run scheme, because you see what Washington did this year, you can hide bad O lines. You can with scheme and just kind of the nature of your run game. You can hide a wonky O line. I don't know if you can hide a terrible O line. So I think Kubiak coming in, but they have to find a way to get better. Whether that's keeping Abe Lucas healthy, and my God, find a way to find some interior linemen just somewhere, anywhere. Like Tyler Lockett's going to come off the books. I think Metcalf is a bit of a waste. I just think he is a flashy guy that's kind of a one trick pony.
Could you get something for him?
He's got 1 year left. At about $18 million, but I think Smith and Jigba is your best weapon.
He's going to be really good.
I just honestly think at some point you move on from Lockett. I think you move on from Metcalf and you redistribute that money and you build an old line and you go on a run game and you don't need. I just think there's wasted money. I think that you need to trim some of this fat. And then the biggest question about Seattle is Geno Smith. Is Geno good enough? And here is the problem with Seattle, and it's the problem with 75% of the teams in the NFL. I believe that if you got a good O-line and this defense continued to improve, I think you could win 12 games. I mean, they win 10 every year. I think you'd win 12 games, and I think you could win a playoff game. And I think when you ran into an elite team, I think you would get exposed. So herein lies the ultimate rub that everyone has is you don't seemingly have a path to get a quarterback. Because you can't trade for one. You're not bad enough to draft one. So whether you hit on one, you're going to either have to rely on Geno to be the guy that gets you over the hump.
Or run into a Brock Purdy somehow.
Or run into a Brock Purdy. So I think the future is bright for Seattle. I don't think it's high noon bright.
Yeah.
I think it's let's go with like a 5:30 sort of sun. You can lay out and you're not going to get a sunburn.
It feels a little similar to the Blazers after the Western Conference Finals appearance, where like you're going to be good enough to be in the conversation, but you're not going to get there. The problem is they've been looking for interior O-line help since James Carpenter and J.R. Sweezy.
And they like I said, they spend draft capital on it, and they just miss. So maybe just go hire a guy that can evaluate interior offensive linemen, because whatever you're doing ain't working, because the guys you draft and the guys you bring in suck. They just flat out, they suck.
Well, they also, they signed Williams this year, a center that had completely destroyed his leg to the point where
he
literally played for 3 or 4 games and was like, can't do this anymore. A lot of the young guys, they've got the Michigan kid playing center this year, and he was okay for the 3 or 4 games. I just, if they're ever going to take that next step, it has to be finding at least one guard, if not a center and a guard that can make that transition. Look at Kansas City. They went out and they drafted Creed Humphreys, and they drafted, Thomas, the kid out of Tennessee, who's their now right guard?
Trey Smith.
Smith, thank you. They made those two picks right after the Super Bowl where they got boat raced by Tampa Bay, and that was the difference. And they signed Joe Thuney.
Yep.
That completely put them back into a conversation of not only are they in the Super Bowl, but they're actually winning it. Not that the Seahawks are that far,
but it can be done in a year. Smith, and you should be able to allocate resources to an interior line. Lockett's going to come off the books. The next version of this to me in 2 years is Lockett's gone, Metcalf's gone. Rebuild your O-line. You have your left tackle. Everyone else on that O-line is replaceable, and let your defense continue to grow and develop. Spend your resources, draft picks, and free agency money. Rebuild your O-line, and I think if you do that, you win 11 and 12 games. I think you can win that division. I think the Niners window is closing.
I do too.
Think Stafford's going to be gone for a year, and Arizona, I think, is a bit of a lost ship. Seattle should be able to win that division in the next 2 to 3 years, they should be the best team in that division if they act smartly and they let this defense grow and develop. But ultimately, I think the Geno Smith thing probably, it probably handcuffs you a little bit. Yeah. So if I'm Seattle, I'm literally spending a second and a third round pick every year, somewhere along second to fourth, drafting a quarterback and hoping that I hit on a Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Because I think Geno, you signed to a manageable deal again. You keep signing them those manageable deals, kicking the road, kick the can down the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether that's Jackson Dart or whether you like a Dylan Gabriel or whatever, right? Keep drafting in that second, third, fourth round and try to find, because look about it, like Russell Wilson was I think a third round pick. Mm-hmm. I think Dak was a third or a fourth round pick. Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, right? I think you just keep swinging on quarterbacks in those mid rounds. I don't think you take them in the sixth and seventh round because those almost never work out.
No, but if you do it every year, you should come up with something at some point.
And you find one. And if you find one, I think all of a sudden Seattle's fortunes are completely different. So I think there is a lot to like, and I think Mike McDonald is going to be the guy, and I love the Kubiak thing because you need to pair, especially with a quarterback like Geno, you have to pair your run game with your pass game, and it's a bold statement. I don't know if there was a team, well, maybe the Bears, that did a poorer job of marrying your run game with your passing game.
And I know that we're up against it, we got to go, but just for the layperson, because I heard Schottenheimer mention that at his press conference.
Yep.
When you talk about marrying your running game and your passing game, what exactly does that mean to the average fan?
So again, when we talk about marrying your run game, do we look the same when we're running the ball, and do we look the same when we're throwing the ball?
So essentially, can they be disguised as one another?
Yes.
Okay.
So if I the Texans, by the way, did a piss poor job of this as well.
Part of the reason Slowick is out of a job.
Yeah, so people look at the Texans, they say, hey, they didn't run the ball that poorly. Actually, they did. They had one of the worst success rates in the NFL with running. So when I know you are going to, you line up in this formation on first and second down and you're going to throw the ball, cool. I know what you're doing. If I know that you are going to be a run team, I know when you get into this look, I know when you get into this down, you are going to throw or you're going to run, right? The whole point is to be multiple. Buffalo did this an amazing job this year, right? Buffalo can come out and when they run that six-man O-line, and if you want to go big on them, they can throw out of that. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect marriage, and that's where play action comes into pass, because especially if you have an O-line that can't protect, right? If I tell you that I'm going to do a 5- and a 7-step drop, because what does Geno Smith do well? He pushes the ball downfield, right? That is his strength. He is not a dink-and-dunk guy. Geno wants to throw the ball downfield. Problem is, we can't protect, right? We can't just drop back and throw 5- and 7-step drops and throw the ball 10 yards down the field.
Right. Doesn't have that time.
So I need my run game to disguise what I'm doing. I have to live in the world where you think that there is a threat of me running the ball. When my play action brings my linebackers in, it backs my secondary off. It gives me those opportunities. And Seattle had none of it. I just think Ryan Grubb was way in over his head. I think he came from a world in Washington where running the ball was an ancillary thing, and it was penix, and occasionally we're going to run the ball. And if you look at, again, the successful teams in the NFL the last 4 or 5 years, what do they all do well? They run the ball. And running the ball is the best thing you can do for a young quarterback, and it's the best thing you can do for an average quarterback. So when you can't run the ball...
Helps your defense out, too.
And when you can't run the ball consistently, and you sure as hell can't drop back, you have a horrible scheme. And I thought that's with the kind of marrying those concepts together. No one did it better than Shanahan's offense. When the Niners were really cooking, right? When they had Juszczyk and they had Kittle, mm-hmm. and then you had your two receivers on the end, I don't care if it's 3rd and 6 or if it was, you know, 2nd and 9.
Could make everything look the
you
same.
You could make everything look the same.
Yeah.
And when I can do that, that's what keeps the defense on their toes. Otherwise, you end up in Kansas City and Spags. When Spags knows you have to throw, and when these defensive coordinators know you have to throw, and you don't have an elite quarterback, dude, it's a death sentence.
Yeah.
It's an absolute death sentence. So the run game has to keep it honest, and that's why it has to pair well. Your concepts have to work well with that. And then can you take your run looks and still have solid pass protection off of it?
Little football education with Suk as the Seahawks try to make the next step going into next season. We'll get back to sports in a little while. Coming up later, Stupid or Savvy, some Super Bowl betting previews. But coming up next, it's time for In the News. We have multiple standoffs downtown, an animal rescue, and math and reading ranks. It's all coming up, but first, Ortner Sports Center.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookies.
Welcome back to Prime Time, an SOB edition. Souk Ortner and Buckley with you today. Rop's supposed to be back tomorrow. We'll see about that. But as for right now, it is Wednesday. It is January 29th. January 29th. It is time
God, it's almost February?
Yeah, it is time for In the News. I'm your stand-in newsman, hello. Investigative journalist behind the glass, Will Ortner, is that right?
Yes, sir.
What are you investigating today, Will?
Right now, Livy Dunn's Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Little bit of Shane Gillis's girlfriend's Instagram, too.
What's going on over there with her?
Her name is Grace. It is a quality lookup, and you will say, why is she with him?
Well, you know why she's with him.
Oh, no, she loves
it. It could be for love. We don't know.
Is that the same one that Shane Gillis took to Christian McCaffrey's wedding?
Yes.
I remember seeing Shane Gillis with all the 49er bros at Christian McCaffrey's wedding when he married Miss Universe.
Oh, yes.
She is, yeah, she's fun.
Easy on the eyes?
She's easy on the eyes.
She's tall.
Guys, just make a lot of money. Make a lot of money.
What are we doing here, Will?
We got a good idea what Shane's doing.
And here's the best part.
Gotta be funny.
He doesn't post her on Instagram. She posts him, and she posts him a lot.
You don't have to be funny. You just have to have a lot. Yeah, she's with him because
He had money because he's funny.
Exactly. Yes.
So I'm just saying be funny, you know?
And being funny works for some people.
Yeah, I think having money works a little.
Well, look, I'm learning money works more and more.
Trust me, if Shane Gillis loses all his money, something tells me his gal's not sticking around due to his great ha-ha and hee-hees.
You don't know that?
Yeah,
I don't know if I like your nihilism.
Yeah, you're telling me the Instagram model influencer is sticking with the guy who's dead broke, but he's hilarious.
Maybe.
Okay.
Isn't that what love is, Souk?
Yeah, I don't know if what they have is love, but all right, you know.
It's just a different kind of love.
It's a different kind of love.
It's the start of the Chinese Lunar New Year.
Yes, Year of the Snake.
The Year of the Snake. Now, do you know what year you were when you were...
I'm the horse.
I believe I am the ox.
1978, I believe, is because at the Chinese restaurants, they have the...
Yeah, they have a little wheel usually.
Yeah. So I believe that is the horse.
So this year...
Which is kind of lame, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'm the Year of the Horse, which... Yeah.
Year of the Snake this year, and I don't know, I perceive Year of the Snake as bad, but I'm reading that Year of the Snake is all about shedding that bad energy.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, because there's the rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, cock, dog, and pig.
Hmm.
You need the Year of the Goat. Come on, let's go. So next year, I think, then, would be the Year of the Horse.
Back to the horse again.
I think we're back to the horsey.
Today is Curmudgeon's Day.
All right, go curmudgeons.
It is also Kansas Day.
Hey, look at that.
Shout out, Rob.
Rob's not here. Let's be honest, Rob's a bit of a curmudgeon.
He is a curmudgeon. Do you think he knows it's Kansas Day?
No. Because, he's not doing any sort of the award-winning show prep when he's not hosting
the show. You know, maybe back in an American city, Salina, Kansas, they taught in school that this was their... Kansas becomes a state day because it is the anniversary of them becoming the 34th state in the union. So maybe he knows.
We can float out tomorrow and be like, hey, do you know what yesterday was?
Yeah.
I'm guessing no. But it is, I'm a little disappointed that on the curmudgeon and Kansas Day that he's not here.
It's also corn chip day.
Oh, that's like a Dorito. I mean, any corn chip, right? Like a Dorito?
Yeah.
Anything like that?
I mean, you have corn, you have potato, but those are the main chips, right?
Yeah, right. You got the potato chip and then
potato base or corn base are kind of your two mains.
Yeah, between the two, I think I'm taking the corn chip if I have to. I got more options with the corn chip.
It's also National Puzzle Day. Anyone in the Souk family puzzlers?
I've puzzled before, I'm not going to lie. I don't mind a puzzle, but I usually lose interest after, maybe 45 minutes.
There's something I find kind of like therapeutic about doing a puzzle, especially if you like, you just have music, you don't have other stuff on. Like, it's a great... we're at the beach, we're at the cabin, and the weather sucks activity.
Yeah.
You know?
If there's nothing else going on,
a nice day, I'm not staying inside doing a puzzle.
But I'm with you, like a rainy day. Look, I'm saying this, you can convince me to puzzle.
Yeah.
I will never be the one that suggests puzzle, but if, if my lady's like, hey, make this puzzle with me, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to be like, no, that's dumb. Well, we'll go in there, throw some corners first, and kind of hunt and peck. I was a kid, though. I used to I'd get the WWE puzzles. I had a Hulk Hogan puzzle, an Ultimate Warrior, and then I would glue them to cardboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then pin them to the wall.
Very nice. Badass of you.
Mama Ortner, big puzzler.
Yeah. Yeah?
I think it's an old person activity.
Hey.
Well, it just is. I'm old.
Tends to be.
I'll bet you Rop could be. I could see the Rop and Nurse Nice. I could see them puzzling.
They whip out the card table. He kind of walks by with his coffee, puts a couple pieces in, and keeps walking.
I could see that.
Yeah, I can too. Whose birthday party would you rather attend today? Oprah's or Tom Selleck's?
Oh, Tommy Selleck.
I think so too.
No offense, but like Oprah seems fine, but what am I going to talk to Oprah about?
Yeah, but I bet her party would rock.
I want to hang out with Tom Selleck. I like Tom Selleck.
I do too.
I want this. We're to like hang out and talk about mustaches and Magnum PI. Tom Selleck is like underrated badass. Like I'll talk to Tom Selleck all day, and he seems like a pretty cool dude.
So we had a couple breaking news stories here in Portland that had to do with standoffs. I don't know if you saw any of this
big
today.
Big standoff news. Yeah, man in custody after firing some shots.
That's right. So what we're reading here is that over on Northwest 5th and Gleason in Portland's Old Town. Around 12:15 this afternoon, officers responded to reports of an adult man pointing a gun at a passerby in downtown Portland. He apparently then fired that gun and then hopped on a bus.
Yeah, and then like just he held up in the bus.
And then they got everybody else off the bus. They got the driver off the bus. Apparently, he threw the gun out of the bus, yeah. But he was unwilling to leave the bus himself. Yeah. So there was your standoff.
Which I don't really understand. I thought the whole point of a standoff was that, like, I've got a threat.
Right.
But to my man's credit, he let everyone else off the bus. He threw the gun out. But at that point, you've kind of played all your cards.
Yeah, you're I can't say I support pieces. This guy, but thank you for complying, I guess, by the end of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, they said that he could face kidnapping charges, too.
Oh, yeah, because he was, yeah, because of all the passengers.
All the passengers. Yeah. Although he eventually let him go. But I'm just saying, if you're going to commandeer the bus, you got to keep the hostages or the gun. Otherwise,
what do you have to work with?
Just leave. Yeah. If you let everyone go and you drop your gun, at that point, just get off the bus. Like, you know, hey, hands up, it's over. Or take the bus on a joyride or at least do something. You can't just lay on the floor of the bus and be like, I'm not coming out. They will come get you.
Yeah, this lasted a couple hours. The suspect was still inside the bus as of 2:15 p.m.
And I also don't understand, once he dropped the gun, why didn't the police just, I mean, why don't they just walk in there and get him?
Is there an idea that he has something else that you're concerned about?
But he could go back. Did he throw the gun out or just
out the window of the bus? Yeah. So
maybe he has a second gun.
Yeah, I mean, but then I guess you can't assume anything if you're the police in that situation.
They flashbanged him and then threw the smoke bomb, and you know, and then at that point, yeah, once that flashbang goes off, you're not doing anything.
Probably deserved that.
Can't see anything. Your ears are shot, and then they. My buddy calls. My buddy's a cop. He says that's when the car gives birth because he usually go out a window. I guess this is the bus. So you probably just, you know.
TriMet said of the bus driver, we want to commend our operator for their bravery and resolve in safely handling this frightening situation. Our thoughts are with them as well as the riders on the bus and others who were in the vicinity of the incident when this senseless act took place. We are grateful that no one was physically hurt and thank the police for their quick response.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you're on a bus and all of a sudden some nut job comes in with a gun. I'll tell you what, I'm going out the back of that bus or the window. I'm about waiting around.
I just think of,
deuces, I'm gone.
Yeah, I'm not hanging around for the movie Speed situation.
Nope.
Where we're like, we're off, and now we got to keep above 55. And
dude gets on a bus with a gun. I'm assuming that that's not ending the way this one went down, and I'm out.
Will, have you seen Speed?
If I get clipped on my way out, so be it. I'm leaving.
No, but is it like Ambulance?
I don't know what Ambulance is like. You should go back and watch the movie Speed.
Is that the one that everyone like hates, or is that Crash?
Oh, I think people hated Crash.
Crash won for...
It won Best Picture?
It won Best Picture.
Yeah, I know, but I think isn't that on one it. Like you look back on who it beat and it's like a kind of a Shakespeare in Love type deal?
I would just say that you couldn't have two movies that are further apart than Crash and Speed. One deals with like racial like inequalities and like stereotypes in the world.
Either.
The other one is Keanu Reeves driving a bus.
Yeah, Keanu.
I haven't seen Keanu, either one.
Speed
I don't
is the one you need to watch. It's Keanu Reeves who he is a cop and he gets on a bus that it will explode if it goes below 55 miles an hour.
That is the first time in the history of movie or radio or anything that someone has compared Speed and the movie Crash.
Didn't
to
compare
be fair,
them.
They sound alike.
Did not compare them. Just asked a question. Sounds like.
And one of them, and crash does involve a bus crash,
and
right?
Usually when you speed, you do crash. Haven't seen either. Just know, remember one was not super well liked after the fact.
I see how you connected the dots. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you should have connected the dots.
And no, crash doesn't involve a bus crash.
Isn't there a.
She no, that's you, it's like four separate.
I thought I remember like Matt Dillon embracing someone under like a Matt wrecked Dillon. Car or something like
it's
that.
It's a wrecked car, but again, that's it's an SUV. Never mind. It's like
that's
four. It's like four separate stories that all have racial prejudice, and they all end up tying back together at the end. And no, it doesn't involve a bus crash.
So the crash is a metaphor.
Yes, yes, and that's Sandy Bullock that does get. Or no, it's not Sandy Bullock. It's a black lady who has been racially profiled and actually assaulted by an officer, Matt Damon, Matt Dillon, who ends up saving her from dying, but she doesn't want him to save her because
spoiler.
It's
because
the cop.
He's a POS that, white cop.
Yes. So it's a whole thing.
Now that we're back into movies.
And I'm not going to watch that movie.
It's a good movie and you should watch it.
Which one, Speed or Crash?
Crash is much better than Speed.
Disagree. Oh, man. We also had another standoff in St. John's neighborhood. According to police, a wanted and potentially armed suspect was barricaded in a home on North Hudson Street near St. John's City Park. They got the Special Emergency Reaction Team and Crisis Negotiation Team there responding. There have been no injuries reported, but they have closed off the area from Charleston Ave to John Avenue. Residents being asked to avoid the area and stay locked indoors.
Stuff popping off, man. Be safe out there, people.
Well, we do have some positive news. We have an animal rescue. And also some potential snow coming. That's next in the news on The Fan.
Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Not too much time left here in the news. And as it is in the news, I feel it's my duty to give you the weather. Because we do have some serious weather coming in this week. And when I say serious weather, not anything anyone should be seriously worried about. But something that obviously seriously impacts the city of Portland when it does happen.
Are we screwed here? Is it time to run to the hills?
Well, KGW has issued a weather impact alert for days Monday and Tuesday of next week due to the possibility of low elevation snow.
Oh, no.
We don't do well with that. Last time we got Klondike Ortner out of it. The last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I do think we got the Klondike Willow.
And it was this time around last year, I think? Perhaps?
Snow and ice doesn't really stop
Buckley refused to come get drunk with me at my buddy's house.
That's right. You were having wine chicken, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and a lot of wine to go with it. Buckley was stuck here, and I was like, just come on to my buddy's house.
Well, no,
right
I wasn't stuck. I believed that I could get home, and ultimately I did. It just took way longer than it should have. I should have come and gone drunk with you and your buddy. That would have been the better
It's good times. That's the benefit
play.
Of having a buddy that lives side roads from the station. When in doubt, just head on over and we just start heavily drinking. And it was cool part because like one of his neighborhood bars right across the street also just stayed open because like people couldn't go anywhere.
They could.
It was a great night. I don't remember much of it, but it was a great night.
So Friday, going to be a wet one in the Cascades with heavy snow falling up in the mountains. Ski area is going to see 12 to 20 inches of new snow by Saturday morning. That's a lot. And so what you need to know about around this area, though, is that the snow level falls to around 5,000 feet on Friday, 2,000 feet on Saturday, and 1,000 feet on Sunday. And then because of low temperatures, snow is supposed to stay around 1,000 feet through the middle of next week.
Oh, all right.
If we get it, it's going to stay for a little while because we're not supposed to get above like 41 degrees until Wednesday or Thursday next week.
All right. So just basically keep an eye on it.
I just want to warn you now, Soup. I am your producer on Monday. You will be having a show.
I have to differ. You think you coming in is a requirement for me
coming
in?
Yeah, you can show up and crack the mic.
I did it last year, and Dusty had to come in.
Dude, I'll tell you right now. This is my hand to God. My determining factor of whether or not I come in or not is whether or not there's enough on the 205 bridge that is plowed to the sides. If they have to plow the snow anywhere on that 205 bridge, and you have a nice little ramp, I will tell everyone at this company, kiss my big white ass, I'm not going over that bridge. I cannot see that without thinking about that poor dude that just slid out a little bit and then Dukes of Hazzard it off the 205 bridge. I think, honestly, like you want to talk about being sued? How is that legal? How is it a good idea for us to plow a bridge and then basically make a ski jump when you plummet however many feet into the icy river? That just seems insanity.
I don't get how I mean, once that happens one time, aren't you never doing that again?
I would certainly hope so. So that's a, you know, they do that live.
That predates me.
You do that live. That was like 3 years ago.
It was before my time.
You do that live look on the bridge with the camera. That'll be mine. I'll look at the bridge and be like, nope. But yeah, someone go shovel that off. Yeah, once there's a buildup there, nope, not this guy. Not doing it.
Well, there's your weather report. We've essentially run out of time to discuss how Oregon is falling behind in both reading and math, but you probably already knew that.
Yeah, we are anyways.
So that's going to do it for In the News, brought to you, as always, by The Advocates. If you've been hurt or injured, you don't need a lawyer. You need an advocate. You can visit them at advocateslaw.com. Coming up, the Hot 5 at 5, then Stupid or Savvy, Super Bowl bets preview. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.